Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Good morning. Children, there is no children's church today, but if you hold on, I have a special treat at the end. Well, maybe a special treat. We have a couple gifts up here that I'm going to need some help from our children at the end. Well, thank you, choir, for all your hard work. Thanks, Bob, for leading us again. I think that's Bob's, is that your 60th year of leading? Not quite. 70. He started when he was born, right? It's a treat to have all of our people just come and to sing and to practice. It takes quite a bit of time and effort and energy and, you know, to be able to, I think we had everybody here. Nobody was sick, which is very rare. Nobody was down for the count. And so to be able to have everybody come to the practices that started in October, then to go October, November, December was pretty awesome. This morning, I want to continue our series. We've been talking about the marvel of Christmas. And Christmas is really a marvel when you stop and really think about it. And that's what we've been trying to set our minds and our hearts on. And today, I want to look at, just quickly, the marvel of God's love. The marvel of God's love. God's gift that we can't earn. You ever been through a drive-thru? And you've gone through, and they tell you as you get ready to pay, hey, the person in front of you paid for you. Anybody, has that ever happened to you before? All right, two, three, okay, four of us. Here's your goal. You need to make sure you do that, all right? You say, well, nobody's done it for me. Well, you do it for somebody else. It's happened to me once, and it felt really weird, right? Like, it felt really weird, like I still had my wallet in my hand, and I felt like I needed to still do something, even though it was already paid for. It was already like it was nothing else that I needed to do in order to get my food. And it feels weird when that happens, right? Like those of you who have been through it, those of you, all 90 of the others of you who haven't, it hasn't, just trust me, it does. It feels weird. It feels like you should do something. And yet, when I think about it in my life, accepting something has never been a strong suit for me. Like, that's not a gift that God's given me. I have to work really hard at accepting. Maybe you accept really easy, and maybe you can teach me a few things, all right? But one of the things that we want to look at this morning is we don't have to work hard for God's love. And the truth is, a lot of people struggle with this idea of earning God's love. I don't struggle, and maybe you don't either. I don't struggle with working hard. I like working hard. I don't struggle with going out and putting in time and energy and effort. But sometimes I struggle with grace. I don't mind effort, and I don't mind responsibility. But I don't like the feeling of being indebted to someone. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? We're so independent, and sometimes that uncomfortableness, it flows over to our faith. And so we say that we believe that God loves us, but in some sense, we're still reaching for our wallets, and we're saying, well, I need to do better, or I need to clean this up, or I need to prove that I'm serious. But Christmas is a gentle reminder for us that you can't pay for what God offers. In fact, it's already been paid for. The marvel of Christmas is this. Not that we deserved God's love, but that love was given to you and me before we could even ask. The marvel of Christmas is not that God found us lovable, but that he loved us when we were not. When you really understand that kind of love, you realize something. God's love is not earned. It's demonstrated, it's sacrificed, and it's received. A familiar verse that you probably know, and maybe you've even seen it. Used to see it all the time when I was a child at football games. When they got ready to kick the extra point or a field goal, there would be this big sign that would go up, right? And on that sign would be John 3:16. Some of you know exactly. I've actually seen it a couple times here recently at a couple of the games. John 3:16 is a very simple verse, and we want to look at how that shows us about God's love. And then we'll look at a few other verses as we look at the Christmas story and how that applies. But John 3:16 is very simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The marvel of Christmas, and when we look at this, we see the marvel of Christmas is that love has been demonstrated. It's been demonstrated to you and me. God so loved us. The truth is, love showed up in darkness. We see this in Luke chapter 2. It's the Christmas story, right? In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read here, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping the watch over their flock by what? Night. What happens in the night? It's dark, right? It's interesting that the angels would come to the shepherds at night, that Jesus would be born at night. It shows us that love showed up in the darkness, which took me back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, when Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah and ultimately sharing and talking about how the people walked in darkness and they've seen a great light. It also reminded me of what John recorded in his gospel in John 1, verses 4 and 5, when he says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so we see God demonstrating his love. He came into the darkness. And this reminds us that you don't have to clean up your house in order to invite Jesus in. Because we all start in the same place. We all start with a life and with a heart filled with darkness. As good as you can be, you're still filled with darkness. And you need the light. Oftentimes we feel like we have to improve, or I've got to be good enough in order to invite Jesus. But what we see in the Bible is Jesus coming to sinners, to the outcast, to those who were dirty, who realized they needed help. He scolded the religious people at the time. They rejected him because they thought they were good enough. They were clean enough. They thought, I don't need any light because I'm the light. No, they needed the light just as you and I need the light. We need Jesus. Jesus will come into your life and clean you up. He demonstrated that love when he came into the darkness. The marvel of God's love is also this. It's love sacrificed. He gave his son. God gave his son. Love was shown. It was put into action. I love this because it wasn't just a bunch of words that God said. God showed his love. Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. I want to read to you this passage because I think it sums up very well what God did for us. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified, we've been made right by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, made right, shall we be saved by his life. Love was shown to us. We were enemies. We were weak. I love what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53, again prophesying about the Savior who would ultimately be crucified for us, be tormented. We often look at this verse at Easter, on Good Friday. But notice, he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Because of what Jesus did, because he demonstrated his love, he didn't just say it, he actually did something. God sent Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He took the penalty that we each owe. And that's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. When Paul writes this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that while you, by his poverty, you might become rich." What's this show us? The God who lived in heaven left heaven and came here. He was born a human being like you and me. He left the wealth of heaven. And it's not just the riches. It's not the gold. It's not diamonds. It's not that kind of wealth. It's the fact that he left his Father's side and he was born in flesh like you and me. That baby was born and couldn't feed himself. It's remarkable that our God loved us that much. And ultimately, he knew his mission. We talked about that last week. When Jesus lived, he knew what he was here for. And that was ultimately to take our place, to die for us. Your weakness is why Jesus was given, why he came, why he died. The third marvel of God's love is this. It's love received. Whoever believes in him will have. Here's our choice. Will we respond in faith? Will we respond in gratitude? Will we respond in worship? The truth is, God's undeserved but unconditional love is available for you. Unconditional love for you is right at your fingertips. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is by the gift of God, not result of works, so that no one may boast." I love what we see in the Old Testament, because sometimes we read the New Testament and we say, what was it like back for those people a long time ago before Jesus even came? What was God's love for his people back then look like? You see, the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. And sometimes you look and you see the word and you're like, man, he seems like a vengeful and wrathful God, a God who's always upset. No, it's the same God in the Old Testament as we see in the New Testament. If you read all of it, you see that. And this is a passage that we see in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, where Moses writes, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than all the people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt." Did you catch that? They didn't have anything to boast about or to be proudful about. Look at us. We're so great. We're so mighty. No, God chose them. God extends to you his unconditional love today. But you need to understand something, that this gift that God offers to you, a relationship with him through his son Jesus, it is no good unless you receive it. It has no benefit. A gift has no benefit to you unless you receive it. Now I need my helpers. Where's my children at? Any child that wants to come up, any child, make your way up here. I saw Mike. Mike, you can come. I need some help. Come on. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. How are you guys? Anybody else? You better tell your friends they better come up. Everett, you better come up, man. You're going to miss it. I'm telling you. Where's Mally? I told him he better come. I think this is a good illustration. All right? Eric, you want to come? Guys, I have a present here. You guys like presents?
Yeah.
And what do you do with presents?
Open them.
You open them?
And wrap them.
You wrap them, right? And this is wrapped. I have to confess, I did not wrap this.
I know.
How do you know that?
Because we used it for a Christmas
present. That's right. This was one of the kids' presents last week for the I just, did a little work. So this is a present. And if I set it over here and say, man, that's a really nice present, does it do you any benefit? Does it help you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does?
Yeah.
How does it help you?
Kind of. Because it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. That is true.
Because
it's beautiful to look at. It's going to be good, yeah. I don't have a microphone, or I give it to you, sorry. It's going to be good. You're anticipating that, right? So maybe it'll be good, but maybe not. What about this present? You think this will be good? Yeah? Something really good can be small, right? That's true. What's that? A Nintendo game. Like a little what?
A little tiny Hatchimal.
Like a Hatchimal. Huh?
Hatchimals are tiny inside a tiny
egg. Oh, yes. They're tiny inside of little tiny eggs.
In a blind bag.
Ugh, I love it. This girl knows her presents. All right. So.
I see them at the store.
Oh, you see them at the store? Well, maybe you'll get one for Christmas. Or maybe there's one in here. Who would like to open this? Anybody? Do all of you want to open it?
Yeah.
Can I just crush it?
Can you what?
Question it?
Crush it?
And see what's inside.
You want to crush it?
And see what's inside.
Well, what if you crush what's inside?
Uh-oh.
Didn't think about that. It might be one of the things in the egg.
The toy might be as big as the box.
It might be as big as the box. That's very true, Judah. So do you guys all want to open this?
Yeah.
Now you have to open it, be a part of it in order to receive it. What's ever in here, you have to help out.
Okay.
All of you helping?
I feel like there's nothing.
Anybody sitting out?
Yeah.
All right. Come this way and face over here so everybody can see you.
Okay.
All right. Now, you guys open that present and let's see what is in there. Show everybody.
It's a box.
It's a small little box. Are you a little disappointed?
Yeah.
So, this present is much like what the world offers us. The world says, here's something that will satisfy you.
A box?
And it looks nice. right? But all it ends up being is an empty box. Your mom and you did what with boxes?
Me and my mom craft with boxes.
Oh, you craft with boxes. So you could, I guess you could use it for something, right? Would you like this box? Yeah, it can be your box.
It can be a hat.
Now, there is something else here, right? There's still something. All right, so. Do you guys, you found rain? That looks like snow. Do you guys want another present?
Sure.
Because that one just didn't turn out real well, right? Now, do you all receive this one?
Yes.
Yeah? No? Yes. You look okay. All right, you guys work together in opening that one. That's just a box, yeah. But look was... this kid, like, knows what to do here.
There you go.
So, let's look at this, right? This was in the box. This was your present, right? So, let's count. Will you count? 10.
20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100.
$100. One, two, three, four, five, six. So you get one, you get one, I get two, you get one.
Ooh, yay. And then I get
Me.
Another one.
Mmm. I'll see you two later, and I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
Now, what was the difference between the first box and the second box?
Money and no money.
Money and no money.
The one was empty.
No money.
The one was not empty.
Right. The one was empty.
Yeah, like that one was money, and that one was money.
Right. One had something in it, and the other one didn't.
And I made a false.
You guys are great. Don't rip your money. Okay. Oh, excellent. Well, why don't you guys can go have a seat. Thank you for your help up here. And the money is your present, okay? So let's give them a hand. Great job. Do you want your box? No, you're good now? Okay. I thought so. Guys, it's really simple. When you think about God's love, what the world says is, here's what you need. And you're searching down deep inside every single one of us. We have this yearning for something, for purpose, for life, something more. God put that in us. It's to know Him, to know our Creator. And God offers to you a present today. You have to receive it. You have to claim it. You have to make it yours. Because if you don't ever open it, you don't get to experience what's inside. There's money inside one. Inside the other, there's nothing. A shallow. Have you chosen to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's the best gift you could ever receive. And the truth is, there's nothing you and I have done in order to earn that. The only thing those children did was walk up here and be cute, look good, and answer a few questions. God doesn't require you to do anything but to come to Him, to admit that you need that gift, to admit that you need the Savior. So what have you done with Jesus? There's a couple questions as we finish here that I want to just pose to you. Where are you trying to earn what God gives to you freely? God's love has graciously been extended to you. And the beautiful thing is it never runs out. Where are you trying to earn what God gives you? But also, have you truly received his love? Or are you still striving? Are you pulling out your wallet to pay when it's already been paid for? And then finally, how does God's grace help shape how you are loving other people? Because as God's children, he wants us to demonstrate and to show that love that he has shown us to others as well. So how are you loving others? I love what our choir sang, all is well. Because all is well when you receive the greatest gift ever given. I hope you've trusted Jesus. And if not, I encourage you to accept him now. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the way that you have demonstrated, Lord, your love to us. That while we were sinners, Christ would die for us. What we deserve from the wages of our sin is death. But you've given to us a gift. And that gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never received that gift of Jesus, right now you can receive him. To pray and to accept him. It's not your prayer that gives you eternal life. It's the belief, it's the trust in your mind and in your heart to say, Lord, I believe that you sent your son Jesus. I believe that he was born, he lived a perfect life, and he ultimately died on the cross for me. And he offers to me the gift, a gift of an eternal relationship with him. And so, Lord, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, believing that not only did he die, but he rose from the dead, and he conquered sin, he conquered death, and he gives me life. Thank you, Jesus, that you came in the darkness. You came while we were enemies. You came when we don't deserve it. And yet your love is unconditional. And it requires just one thing from us, to receive it. That's the marvel of Christmas, Lord. To look at your great gift that you've extended to the world. And yet some will choose the gifts of the world. Help us to be reminded here this morning that there is no other greater gift that can satisfy our longings than the gift of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. I want to encourage you, as Andrew shared from the beginning, we want you to come for Christmas Eve. It's a very special service. It's actually my favorite service of all the year. Not that I don't like the other ones. They're good too, but it's my favorite service of the whole year, Christmas Eve. We start at 5 o'clock. We do it just for an hour. You'll be out of here at 6. And so we want to be sensitive to your time and to your family time. And so we encourage you to come, join with us, invite somebody to come with us. And we hope to see you then. Merry Christmas and have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you.